Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Recording.
We're recording. Hello, everybody.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
We're two black-ass girls invade the whitest show on earth.
The Bachelor.
I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And we just watched Fantasy Suite.
No damn Fantasy Suite.
Singular? There was one Fantasy Suite that we saw. What an episode. Jesus.
Yeah, this was Christ. A doozy.
This was a doozy. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, shout out to Ashley Spivey. We were hoping that she would join us for this episode, and she's unfortunately under the weather.
Yeah.
Health is first and foremost, not this podcast.
Not the Bachelor. Yeah, no.
Definitely not the Bachelor. So we wish her well. Hope to have her on tomorrow's episode for Woman Tell All.
Yeah. Excited.
Prayers to Ashley Spivey. Get better soon. Other quick announcement. Next week, we have a two-part finale episode. Monday and Tuesday.
Even one of them shits is 3 hours long, going to cancel my cable.
Don't even put that in the universe. Do not. It better be the standard 2 hours, which is enough as is.
Yep.
But we have 4 hours of Bachelor content to watch next Monday and Tuesday. That being said, we will be doing one mega finale episode. So we'll be combining our recap for both parts into one mega episode, which will be put out on Friday. So we appreciate everybody's patience.
Mm-hmm.
But we have lives outside of the Bachelor.
We do.
We got shit to do. We did not know it's going to be a two-parter. So that shall be out on Friday. Hope you enjoy it. All right. What are your initial thoughts of this ridiculous episode?
I had to think about this one for a moment.
Me too. Oh my God. Yeah. It took me forever to come up with initial thoughts.
Yeah, this is a lot. Because my initial thought, right, that I have written down is like, Colton lives in the woods now, right? Like, he doesn't live with society. He is now in the woods. However, going a little bit deeper into it, I just feel like if Colton wanted an Instagram sponsorship, Talkspace.com, I'm sure, is hiring and would be a fantastic sponsor for him right now.
You ain't shit.
Because this man needs therapy so badly.
Bad. They have put him through the ringer.
The ringer. He has broken a lot of records that are, like, really bad, right? He's, like, not losing his virginity, which is, like, not what we expected. He is... Four women have now sent themselves home.
Four, you guys. This is not normal.
this is really crazy. And all because of the same reason. They all literally can't see it at the end. They're all like, I just can't see this.
Oh, God. I hope he's not internalizing that shit, because that's terrible.
I know.
Yeah.
Also, going back to my original theory that Colton does not pick anyone at the end of this.
That's true. You did say that at the beginning.
Yeah. Yep. I didn't have an invitation to the cookout, and I didn't have that he was making moves, despite the fact that he was moving.
He was hopping, skipping, and jumping. He was making moves, that's for damn sure. Just he not in the sense that we
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. What about you?
Oh, God. So my initial thoughts are actually very similar. I immediately wrote down, or not immediately, it took me a while to come up with this, but Colton has made a very bad decision for himself in coming on this show. For his own mental and emotional well-being. I don't think this was a good decision, my dude.
Nope.
He's young. He has very minimal relationship experience. Mm-hmm. He, as you pointed out, or as your mother pointed out, has very little experience with women, just in general. It's very easy to see.
Yeah.
He has very minimal life experience, it seems. Mm-hmm. He hasn't traveled anywhere. He hasn't been there. Like, nowhere.
Europe. His watch was shining and shimmering with all them diamonds. I'm like, you got that diamond-ass watch? You never been to Europe?
You never booked a flight to London? You get flights for like $99 on Norwegian these days. Come on. He has not traveled. Every little activity they do, it's the first time he's ever done it.
Yeah.
He has so much life to live. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I just feel like after he was on The Bachelorette, after he looked a damn fool on Paradise, up and down that damn beach with Tia, why, Colton, why would you not just go back to your normal life and just have fun with being young and dating in the real world, gain some experience, do the dating relationship thing on your terms? Mm-hmm, why sign up for this pressure cooker of reality television show that has now turned your life into a mockery?
Yeah, yep.
And, like, you of all, because they cast him because he's the virgin. He's the virgin bachelor. Exactly. That's what this whole season has been about. And so the fact that you were even cast in that role already lets you know that they're about to set you up for some fuck shit.
Yes. They are, any way they're going to fuck with you, they can. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to take advantage of that.
Yeah. Oh, and so I just feel like he has so much to learn about, like, reading women, reading people in general that he just, like, hasn't picked up yet. Like, asking probing questions, like self-advocacy skills, just like so many skill sets that he's lacking in the whole relationship game, that all of that really set him up for disaster that we saw on tonight's episode. And it was very hard to watch, but also just like, you signed up for this, bro, and you were not ready for this at all. Bless his heart. Oh, God. So before we get into the recap, as always, rate, review, subscribe if you like what you hear. If you have not told us what you think about our podcast yet, go over and write us a review. Please let us know what you think. Subscribe to us as well for your own convenience. You get a little notification every time we post an episode. Hit us up on Twitter. Next week is the two-part finale. We're going to be live on Twitter. You don't want to miss it. Our handle is the number 2 BLK girls, the number 1 rose.
And you can email us at the number 2 black girls, the number 1 rose @gmail.com. And we're the same on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes. And if you're listening right now, screenshot us, tag us in your Instagram story. We love, love, love when you guys tag us in your story and share us with the world. We always repost it to our story. I especially love when people put themselves in the...
Right? Or their kids or their dogs or whatever.
I just like to see people's faces. I love to see who's listening to the podcast and what y'all look like. And I just love those ones. So if you are feeling daring, screenshot your face listening to us. And we especially love that. But yeah, tags in your story. And merch. We got merch. We still got merch, y'all. Still gonna plug the merch. Get your 2 Black Girls, 1 Rose tee. And your mug and your canvas bag at Teespring, teespring.com/2blackgirls1rose. Now, Justine, I know you have a lot of lovely church announcements.
Oh, we do. The program is double-sided today.
Damn.
Ooh-wee. Because we didn't do church announcements last week, so shout out to everybody who's emailed us since before Skip to Reality podcast came on our show. So we have a bunch. We have Hannah B. and Becca, not the ones you're thinking of, emailed us.
Love it.
Penny, Reagan, Sydney, Shervon, Kira, Jamia, Francesca, I want to say. You're German, girl. Sorry. Elizabeth, Megan, Charlotte, Mathia, and Taylor H. Now, Taylor, you sent us quite the email about pageants and pageantry foolishness.
Oh, yeah.
I have a personal day tomorrow, and I plan on reading it then.
Because yeah, same. Saving that for my commute tomorrow. It's a long one.
It was a doozy. So I'm very curious. If we have anything to dive into before Women Tell All, too, maybe we'll get some, you know, insights or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, Taylor, thank you for the insights of the email. Appreciate you. That's it for church announcements.
Can I do a quick special shout out to Kira? She's going to love this. This is my friend from grad school. She is a huge fan.
I was wondering. I was reading that email like, do I know her? What? Okay.
You might have met her, actually. Shout out to Kira. Yeah. Love you, Kira. She sent us an email that was hilarious about a very vivid dream she had with Colton in it.
Yes.
It was hilarious. Love you, girl. Okay. Bachelor Nation news.
Yep.
I do have some news. It's pretty much the only news of the week, essentially.
Okay.
So Bachelorette is coming. And allegedly they're going to announce on the Woman Tell All episode tomorrow who the Bachelorette is. Now, in my opinion, I feel like from this season, unless it's Elise, I don't want to see anybody from this season as the Bachelorette. Elise,
maybe Sydney, but we don't even know her like that.
We don't even know Sydney like that. She ain't going to be the Bachelorette. She's not even in the running.
No.
Outside of Elise.
Yeah, I don't really.
I don't think anybody. Mm-mm. Rachel Lindsay, she did a little interview with Us Weekly. I think she said it best when she said she don't want to see anybody from this season either because she can't trust nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody is to be trusted on this season.
No.
It was so much cattiness, and she said, and everybody throwing each other on the bus, and right reasons, wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't pull anybody. They need to do an Ari where they dig up somebody from yesteryear and bring them back for The Bachelorette. But this pool of girls is not it. Now, there has been news of who the next Bachelorette is, and I'm going to give a spoiler alert right now. We don't really talk about spoilers on the show, but this we're going to talk about because whatever. So spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear, speed on ahead. According to Reality Steve, our next Bachelorette is Hannah B.
I don't know how this even happened. How did this happen?
I don't know.
Like, this girl, I don't know how she's popular. I don't know what the Bachelor fans see in her. I don't know what potential they see with this person.
I have no idea.
I don't understand.
I'm making it known that I am not watching this.
Oh, no, we're not watching
this. No. we're not watching this.
Oh, yeah, no.
That will not be watched. So, Two Black Girls, One Rose, we'll have to figure something else out because if she's the Bachelorette, if this is true, I'm not doing this. I'm not watching I'm not watching a 23-year-old look for love.
No.
Look for a husband at the end. That is just stupid. I'm not doing this. Two, I don't want to watch Hannah B. for any more milliseconds on my screen.
Nope.
Mm-mm. We cannot forget she gave us one of the worst one-on-one dates in the history of The Bachelorette.
Of the show, yeah.
The history. Yeah. Colton wanted her to give a toast. She couldn't even give a toast. She literally couldn't string three words together. They sat in a hot tub. She couldn't carry a conversation.
Over and it was dinner, her birthday.
And it was her birthday. Couldn't even, nothing there. Talk about memories from your childhood birthdays. Couldn't even string that together. Over dinner, she somehow mustered the wherewithal to string together some story about her ex-boyfriend, some or another. I can't even remember it because it was so unmemorable and dumb. And Colton gave her a rose.
Yeah.
Then she basically stuck around for multiple other episodes and went on a bunch of group dates. In my opinion, she was like the court jester on the date. She was doing dumb shit all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was eating bugs, like doing things for like attention and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But
always
was like just the comedic relief. Yeah. Then she had her drama with the whole pageant things, and never once did she demonstrate an ounce of depth. An ounce of hope that she can carry a conversation, better yet, a season of The Bachelorette.
Oh, my God.
I will not be watching a successor to Rachel Lindsay Esquire I will not be watching this. This is on my television screen. I'm not watching this. No.
Not even Becca. Like, what? You guys.
Right. The successor to Becca, the successor to Rachel Lindsay Esquire. This.
We can't do this. No.
Nah. It's nah. It's a no. And so then when I read that, I started to think, I'm like, okay, who from the past can they dig up? And then as I was looking through like cast names and stuff like that, The problem that I think they're having mm-hmm. is that so many of the women from the past seasons are currently in relationships. The Ravens of the world, the yep. Vanessas, the Ciennes, yep. all of them girls got boyfriends. So they really have like slim pickings.
Shoot, even Becca M.
Becca M mm-hmm. got a full baby.
She got a family.
She has left this franchise in the dust. It's slim pickings.
Yeah, it really is.
But then I came up with somebody.
Oh, you did?
I did. I sure did.
Who?
A great white woman that they should have as the bachelorette, because you know ain't going to be nobody black, so I'm going to just have to, you know. Annalise.
Oh, my God.
Think yes. about it. Think about
no,
this.
No, she would be a really good successor to Ashley Colton.
Yes.
Like the level of desperation that both of them have, that would be a good one.
Yes. She is emotional as hell. She yeah, is she's desperate crazy. As all hell. I mean, we're talking tears every week. We're talking mm-hmm. multiple mental breakdowns. Mm-hmm. If the producers are continuing to be on their fuck shit, all they have to do is cast like two or three guys who are like influencer wannabes or mm-hmm. like straight mm-hmm. people who love drama. Between mm-hmm. that mess in the house and Annalise being just emotionally a wreck, mm. it would be the like probably one of the best television yep. series that we'll see in a while.
Yep.
So I don't know why they didn't think of this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah. I really hope it's not Hannah B. I really hope Annalise either. Is in the running. I would watch Annalise.
Oh, my God. Season. In a heartbeat, I would watch Annalise.
Because I know it would just be great television.
It would be amazing.
So, I don't know. We'll have to see Woman Tell All tomorrow we'll have to see. Who they announce, if they even announce it. Because yeah. sometimes they don't. They go back to their drawing board and see. Mm-hmm. But if any producers are out there listening, still deciding, Annalise.
Yeah, Annalise would be good. Thanks.
Please, you ain't gonna give it to a black girl, so at least with Annalise, give us a right. All right, that was it for Bachelor Nation news. Should we dive into this recap?
Let's go.
Let's do it. So, just to recap quickly, we have three people left: Cassie, Tasia, and Hannah G. Mm-hmm. Who was just forgotten in the dust this whole episode.
I damn forgot about her. God damn,
ooh,
Hannah.
Oh, Lord. Poor Hannah G. So we open up with Colton and Chris Harrison, like, at the end of last week's roast ceremony, mm-hmm. off to the side talking about fantasy suites coming up. Mm. And, you know, Chris is like, you know, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. Colton's just, you know, there's no secret that I'm a virgin. If, you know, if I feel like I'm in love with the girl, I could see it happening. Mm-hmm. In my heart, I'm just like, I really do not want Colton to lose his virginity in the fantasy suites on national television to mm-hmm. a woman that he met 4 weeks ago and has spent a total of 72 hours with. Like,
yeah, agreed.
As much as I want to see this on television, like in my own heart, as like a regular person with like, you know, feelings for others. Like,
yes, right.
I feel like this is just a bad move, bro. Like, I really don't want you to do this. Yeah. But he's sitting here talking about, you know, might go down, blah, blah, blah. So Colton returns to the ladies and tells them that they are headed to a place where the mountains meet the oceans. And they're going to Algarve?
Mm-hmm. Algarve.
Portugal.
Yep.
Colton, I have never been to Europe.
Mm.
Like, just another... Singapore, I can understand. Thailand, okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Europe! A hop skip over the pond.
Oh my God. The thing is, you guys, he's too rich. If he wasn't...
Thank you.
If he didn't have, like, shmoney before this, he had money. What are you doing not going to Europe?
Europe. You really... All that money and vacations and stuff, you didn't go out the country not once?
Like, you dated someone who has literally done back handsprings all over the world. And you haven't gone to Europe, my guy?
That's just so wild to me. That's wild. It'd be one thing. Yeah, you're right. It's the fact that he's rich that we just can't get past it. Because you can't clown somebody who doesn't have the means.
Exactly.
My nigga, you got the means.
You
can fly me and my homegirls out there. And you haven't been yourself? That is just unacceptable. I can't.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Oh my God. Okay, so the three women arrive in Portugal. We get a whole little recap of each of their individual journeys. We see them walking around on the cobblestone streets.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What did you think of Cassie's outfit?
During that little opening scene?
Yes.
What was she wearing? I don't remember.
She was wearing a short sleeve black turtleneck. And if anyone who knows me knows, I can't stand clothing that has opposing functions.
This is a short thing that she has talked about. Yeah.
A short sleeve turtleneck really just bakes my beans. Like, I just can't stand it.
She loves a turtleneck.
I know she does. She does love a turtleneck. Mm-hmm. She looked like Anne Hathaway before the makeover in Devil Wears Prada. Oh, that's God. The first thing I thought of.
I thought you were gonna say the before the makeover in Princess Diaries.
Oh nah. No. It wasn't that bad.
I was like, damn, you gonna throw her under the bus like that? Cause she looked hit in Princess Diaries.
She did. She looked crazy in that movie.
Oh, yeah, Cassie loves a turtleneck.
Mm-hmm.
So first up for Fantasy Suites is our girl Tasia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know with the editing, they don't always show like the order of like the fantasy suites and whatnot.
Yeah, sometimes they're out of order, yeah.
Yeah, but I do think this was the true order.
No, this was in order.
This was definitely in order. Tasia was up first. At first, I was like, yes, she's the chosen one to take his virginity.
Yes, me too. Yes.
So exciting. But yeah, we see how that goes. So Tasia's up first. Colton says they're going to spend the day exploring Algarve. Is it Algarve, Algarve?
It's probably Algarve, but he was saying Algarve.
Okay, I'm going to say Algarve because that's probably how they fed it to him.
Yeah, anyways. Yeah.
Colton tells them they're going to be spending the day exploring Algarve. And then they turn around the corner, and to Tasia's surprise, they're actually going to be doing that by helicopter.
I thought this was cute.
That was cute. Yeah, she was genuinely shocked. And it's along the themes of they just stay doing, like,
crazy.
Adrenaline, like, heights shit. So they could do anything now at this point. Colton is gushing about Tasia and his confessional, about her being a strong woman, yada, yada, yada. So they arrive at this castle on the side of the cliff, and they sit and have a little chat about her hometowns. And Tasia says, you know, my dad wouldn't give the blessing unless he saw something in you. So nice little reassurance for Colton. And then they talk about all the firsts that they had together. They did bungee jumping together, skydiving together, both went to Singapore. It was cute. I was like, okay, y'all share some.
Yeah, like, they've done a lot together. A lot of firsts.
Mm-hmm. Because the bungee jumping, skydiving, that's specific to just the two of them. That wasn't a group date. That wasn't anything. It was both of their first times. Although, you know, we said Tay should be doing these things. She's an expert skydiver, we're convinced.
She's gotta be.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that was nice to kind of hear their memories together.
Mm-hmm.
So we did in this moment, you know, they brought back the virgin jokes and the virgin innuendos.
Oh my God, they were all over the place.
So we're going up to hometown, so you know they're going to bring it on back.
Mm-hmm.
Colton made some little joke about he couldn't stand up because his jeans were too tight, and he said something about not being flexible, you know, it's because I'm a virgin, hardy, hard, hard.
Like, what?
I don't know.
You can't do yoga? I can't. No, I can't even go that deep. I can't. Nope.
I do appreciate, though, it made me... You know, in the beginning of the season, episodes 2 and 3, they were killing us with the virgin stuff.
Yeah,
They kind of laid it off a little bit. I didn't even realize that. They did relax on the jokes, but, you know, now they're bringing it back, so.
Mm-hmm.
Time for the nighttime portion of their date. Tasia confirms in her interview that she is in love with Colton.
Ooh-wee.
Yep. She shows up to dinner. She looked very cute.
I wanted this dress.
Yeah, it looked like something affordable.
You know, like, it did look affordable. As she was wearing it really well, I think that was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked cute, though.
It was cute. It was like a short, deep V, kind of like black or navy, like floral, but not like aggressive floral.
Mm-hmm. And a nice bell sleeve.
Yeah. And then Tasia, you know, she loves a little leather jacket draped over the shoulder.
Mm-hmm. She does. She's a blogger. A little blogger jacket over the shoulder.
Exactly. So they sit for dinner. Now Tasia's having little, you know, wardrobe malfunctions. She has a good sized chest on her.
Yeah, yeah.
So she had boob tape holding it down, and it kept like flapping. So her and Colton had cute little, you know, whatever that is.
Flirtatious.
A little flirtation, yeah.
Yeah.
So Colton starts off, you know, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for a great hometown, which really pushed our connection forward. Tayshia thanks him for being very genuine, open, honest. And then we learn a little bit more about Tayshia. I'm like, look at this. Dates where we're still learning about people, you know.
And we have like two episodes to go.
Right. Jesus Christ. Ugh. But I appreciate that she uses her time for them to like dive into actual shit about her. And they're not just staring into each other's eyes and talking about how, like, I don't know, just random generalizations. Like she's actually giving us something. So Tayshia reveals that she also waited to have sex. Mm-hmm. And that her ex-husband was actually the first person she had sex with.
That's amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. Wanted to hear details whether the first time they had sex was in their, like, when they got married, or was it, like, pre-marriage, like, when they were just dating.
Oh, yeah, she didn't explain that.
She didn't really explain.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
Actually.
So I'm wondering, was it the wedding night, or are you just saying, like, he was the first person ever that I had sex with?
I mean, judging by that big old cross in her bedroom when her and her mom were talking, it was the wedding night.
Probably, yeah. Good for you, girl. So then she continues on.
Oh, my and, gosh.
And, oh, Lord, reveals that a year and a half into their marriage, her husband actually cheated on her.
That is devastating.
Devastating. Imagine waiting to have sex.
Yeah, yep.
You have sex with the person you think is the one is going to be your husband for life, and this guy steps out on you.
And you as fine as Tayshia.
You as fine as you is. And the fact that you just waited so damn long and then you end up giving it to some fuck nigga the whole time anyways.
That's terrible.
Really sucks. And so she didn't say this. This is my paraphrase or my inference of what she was trying to say. Was maybe it made her feel like insecure about herself, like being a virgin and then giving it up and not feeling like, I don't know if he had experience having sex before. That would be like, that would give some layers to this.
Exactly.
Whether she felt like she wasn't enough for him or too inexperienced or whatever. So many, you know, layers to this. But I did appreciate her sharing that.
Yeah. Also, everybody should believe in love from now on, because I can't believe she got a year and a half into the marriage, got cheated on, dated some other guy, and then got onto The Bachelor. Like, she is not giving up on love at
all. She's out here, for real. Good for her. So Colton, you know, he commits to always being truthful to her and basically never cheating on her and giving all these promises that he cannot keep and does not mean.
And, yeah.
Maybe not
and that like, aren't, like, commendable. Like, you saying you're not going to cheat on me should just be a given.
That's just a given. Am I supposed to give you a cookie for that? Like, no, you're not supposed to cheat on me.
Yeah, that's that.
Right. So, you know, after they have their nice little moment at dinner, he whips out the fantasy suite card, which was allegedly written by Chris Harrison.
What? Is that what they said?
It was signed by Chris. That handwriting straight up looked like a 22-year-old woman. You know that handwriting.
Oh, yeah.
It's like big round letters. Like, that's a woman who wrote that and someone who just graduated and is a PA. So, stop. So she obviously accepts the fantasy suite. And they head off on their way. Did you notice at this point the music became so weird?
This music, I thought I was watching Mulan.
Yes!
It was so crazy, this music. I don't know.
What was happening? It was like a
musical. It sounded royalty-free. Yeah.
You said what?
It sounded royalty-free. It sounded like they got this for free.
Right on GarageBand. We probably find it right now when we edit the episode.
Probably.
Oh, my God. So weird. Why they chose that music for this scene did not match up at all with the moment. It was very bizarre. But anyways, Tayshia and Colton head off to this lavish, very lavish suite. I mean, they really were trying to do it up. It was huge. They had chocolate and champagnes. They had a whole bubble bath, like, ready to go.
Yeah.
It was really nice. And then Colton and Tayshia lay on the bed, start making out, and, like, you know, dot, dot, dot. So the next morning now, Colton and Tasia are laying in bed. Mm-hmm. They're both dressed in white. The bed mm-hmm. isn't all white. Mm. It's like they're painting
context
this,
clues.
Yeah, they're painting this image of like purity yes. and virginity yeah. and like mm-hmm. you know all that jazz. And so Tasia says, last night in her little interview, last night was new territory for all of us. It was interesting. And then she said, going into fantasy suites, you know, I could pick up on his nervousness. Then she revealed, you know, I didn't get the physical intimacy I wanted. They didn't have sex. But I got the time that I needed with him anyways.
You know. Okay.
So good for you, girl. Sucks for us yeah. viewers, because I wanted to hear how they was chopping it down.
Right. And how he lost his virginity to a black woman.
Right? Oh, I didn't think about that. We didn't get that, but they got
shit
the
would have been wild.
Mm-hmm, they got the alone time and the talking that they needed. So good for y'all. Tasia says to Colton, you know, spending time with you confirmed that I do love you. Just keeps laying it on.
Yeah.
Colton says that means a lot. Thanks. That sucks. I can never do this.
No.
Lay out my heart nope. and it forever be one-sided.
Yeah. Like, and there's a mic pack on my back and, like, a boom in my face. Like, I could never.
I can't do this. Oh, God. So, Tasia, she walks Colton out, and he says in his interview, flat out, right now, I am not in love. I'm falling in love.
Mm. Yeah.
Then says, immediately, which was very strange, my mind is automatically thinking about the other two relationships.
Yeah, which is means okay, so I feel like you can always tell how somebody feels after fantasy suites when they leave. Because I remember when Becca left Blake after her fantasy suite with him.
Mm-hmm.
And after they had that whole, like, cosmic connection mm-hmm. situation.
A whole spiritual journey.
Like, yeah, it was, like, crazy. And after she left, she, like, didn't want to leave and all this other stuff. So I feel like the way he left was very much so, like, I have to go run to something else.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is over.
Yeah,
okay.
That's true. He was, like, running out of there, kind of. Mm-hmm. In, like, the metaphorical sense or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we know immediately Tasia ain't the top seed.
Nope.
She ain't it. So, yeah. The next date up is Cassie. So now Cassie, going into this, we already know she's the top seed.
Mm-hmm.
He's like
by a long shot.
Yeah, by a long shot. We don't know much about this girl, but he is absolutely enthralled by her. And so this is the fantasy suites to watch, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Colton, you know, he opens up the whole scene by saying, "I fall more and more for her every time I'm with her. I want to be in love with Cassie."
Jesus.
He's, like, absolutely obsessed with this girl.
Yeah.
Like, really into her. He continues on. There's a possibility by the end of tonight that we can be in love. I hope we can get there. He came in with, like, a clear agenda.
He did.
An itinerary of things he needed and wanted to get accomplished with her.
And I don't know where he got that from.
I don't know either.
She's never said anything even close to that.
Not nary a word about love, about even a deep like for your ass.
No.
And you out here hoping and dreaming and wishing on a prayer that you're going to end the night in love. You are doing a lot, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a lot. So for their date, he picks her up in this cool, like, old school convertible. And they go right off to Tavira, Portugal. And they sit for food, they go shopping for souvenirs, you know, they're making out in this little cobblestone alleyway, doing all the cute stuff. Cassie, so now, this is one thing that I noticed from their date, we get all these words and just gushing and all this stuff from Colton.
Yeah, we got a lot. A
lot from Colton. Cassie, we get very minimal, very generic phrases. Mm-hmm. So we have her saying, "I feel really happy and really good. I like that he's really confident."
Yeah, but also sensitive.
but also sensitive. Yes.
Right? That's what she said, which is, those two can go together, girl.
Girl, what? And I don't know anybody who would describe Colton as confident. Not nobody. This year state in this show. Girl, bye. He's been flailing every damn week. What you mean? I'm going to need you to find a new word ASAP. Good Lord. So now Colton, he continues on. Mm-hmm. Moments like today with Cassie, are moments I want with a partner I'll spend the rest of my life with. Colton again. There's just something about it. I feel myself when I'm with her. Oh, Cassie makes me feel complete. I want nothing more than to hear her say she's falling for me.
Jesus.
Now, this is where he sounded like a straight-up chunk. Because he says next, I haven't verbally heard her say it, but she's given me every reason to believe she's falling for me. How? What?
Yeah. And I feel like this goes back to your initial thoughts, actually. Mm-hmm. The fact that he hasn't explored literally anything, like any part of the world, no nothing.
Nothing.
And he is doing a lot of just general exploring on the ground, right? None mm-hmm. of this flailing up in the air like with Tasia.
Mm-hmm.
On the ground, just walking around and, like, you know, having lots of, like, very surface-level fun with this girl. This is what he wants, because he's never had this with anyone else.
Yeah.
So he thinks, like, oh, yeah, this is what marriage should be like. And it's like, no, bro, you could do this with your friends.
Right.
Just like this with Blake Kaylin's? And Jason.
Yeah. Like, y'all can just be friends. What is this?
Yeah. Yes, just like her dad said.
Mm-hmm. So true. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, he has, like, ideas in his, as you said, like, ideas in his mind of, like, how this thing is supposed to play out, because he's watched it on TV, or I don't really know.
Yeah, and he just hasn't experienced a whole lot, so he mm-hmm. wants to experience it with someone else. Mm-hmm. Not really sure what that desperation comes from, that he wants to experience it with someone else, but they've set it up so that, like, Cassie is getting these safe dates.
Mm.
Where he is like, okay, yeah, I could see this forever. Mm. I can't see jumping out of no plane forever.
Forever. That's a good point. That's a very good point. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. It's very true. So, yeah, they have the little date. Colton drops, I know for sure after today that I love Cassie.
Jeez.
So now he's dropped the I love you, saying it to the camera, saying it to producers, looking us dead in the eye and telling us he loves Cassie. So right there we know, like, she's the one, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Now Cassie, she's coming still with her little Hallmark, like, greetings. She says, today's been amazing. We connect on so many different levels. I like how he makes me feel really comfortable and safe. Just, that told me nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, no, all these girls say that. Yeah.
And then she drops, I can see a future with him. I just wish I had more time.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I knew that this was not going to end well. And there was some bullshit that was about to come.
Yep. Knew she was sending herself home.
Yep.
At that moment.
Mm-hmm. Knew it was going to be a mess. So Colton and Cassie, you know, they sit and they chat some more about her hometowns and recapping how it went. Cassie asks Colton how the conversation with her dad went. And, you know, he admits it was really challenging. And asked her, like, what's his deal? Like, what are his concerns about us? And Cassie said the very blatant, like...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which you know is very important to me. But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
Spending forever with someone is really a big commitment, and this is happening really quickly, and so they're like very obviously concerned. Like,
She's having like the Peter problem where she thinks that this engagement means marriage. It really doesn't.
It doesn't, but that's the pressure cooker that they've been sitting under, and the producers in their ear yapping every day about get engaged or whatever. So then Colton reveals to Cassie, you know, I did ask him for a blessing for an engagement, and I didn't get his approval. Now, the minute he said that, Cassie, her face, she was shocked. Like, completely taken aback, speechless. She was just kind of sitting there, like, stunned. Like, she was not expecting him to say that her dad did not approve.
And which, I don't know why. She knows him, but whatever.
That's what I'm saying. You know him. You saw how critical he was being with you. I guess, I don't know, maybe she didn't know that Colton was going to ask for permission, so maybe that was the first kind of surprise, and then to hear, okay, you you asked my dad, wow, that's surprising. Oh, and he said no, fuck, okay. Like, I think the whole thing compounded was like, what?
That's true. Yeah.
Shit. So yeah, she's sitting there just kind of stunned and was just saying, like, she's confused and... You know, ask Colton, like, are you okay? Are you okay with not getting a blessing? Like, where are you at?
And he was like, fuck that nigga.
Basically.
Hell no, I don't care what he says.
Fuck that bullshit. I still love you.
I love
you. Doesn't change how I feel. Blah, 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 blah. And then Cassie says to him, which I thought was pretty telling. She said, you know, I wish you had told me then. That for me was code for... Had I known this, I would have sent myself home.
I would have stayed home.
I would have stayed.
I would have stayed there.
I would have stayed my ass home, actually.
Yes.
I would not have even come here to Portugal. So that, I think, completely threw her for a loop, because I think she's actually a person who, you know, a lot of girls say, you know, what my parents think. The hometown is really telling. What my parents decide is really going to be, you know, a big deal for me. I think for her, it really was. Like, what her parents, particularly her dad, you know, thought of Colton, and then the end of that was really going to have an effect on her. And the fact that she didn't know that he didn't get the blessing, now she's like, oh shit, now I'm rethinking you for damn sure, who I already had doubts about.
Exactly. I think that's why her family's opinion was so important to her, because she's unsure.
Yes, she already had a lot of doubts and was hoping that they would help solidify her in some way or another. But they didn't, and then she also didn't hear that he didn't get the blessing, so
they actually did, but
your
man's kept it a secret.
You're right. You actually would have got your answer, but homeboy didn't let you know. Shit. So, you know, after this whole moment in her little interview, Cassie's just crying and is talking about how this makes her so sad and so confused. Good Lord. So at this point, Colton, it was kind of unclear, but it seems like Colton and Cassie both go back to their rooms to get ready for dinner,
separate.
Essentially. Suddenly, a mysterious van pulls up to the hotel, and out steps some Rockport tennis shoes from Famous Footwear.
Oh my god, I wrote down. I was like, they really flew this man out in his Flex Fit Skechers.
Working on his calves.
Yes.
Oh, God. It was Cassie's dad, y'all, if you ain't figured it out.
Oh, my God. It was, like, the most dad outfit most he had on dad. That Henley. You know dads love a Henley.
Love a Henley. Love a God, nice a waffle mitt
Henley.
So Cassie's dad, they flew his ass out to Portugal. Now, he says in his interview, before he even goes up, he says, a commitment to marriage is almost second to your commitment to God.
Ooh. Wow.
True story.
Yeah, no, he's right.
That's a true story. Marriage is not anything. I mean, this show kind of makes a joke of it, but marriage is not anything to play with. You are committing to building a life and living your life tied to another person.
Yep.
You're going to build
and
a
like
home.
And, like, joining your life. And
joining.
Making a family.
Yeah. Family, entangling your finances.
Ooh.
Bringing your families together, relying on them for, like, emotional, mental, financial, physical support for, like, the rest of time. This ain't nothing to play with.
Nope.
So then, you know, he says he wasn't convinced that Cassie was in love with Colton. And so that's why he's here, essentially. So the dad surprises Cassie at her hotel room. And she's obviously shocked to see her father standing in Portugal. Like, what the fuck is happening? And they sit to have a chat. And he says to her, like, for me, giving a blessing after a half-hour conversation with somebody is not really diligent. Love this father. And then he basically says, like, you seemed like you were on the fence. Like, do you love him? Like, flat out asked her, do you love him? Because he was not convinced. Cassie gave the most half-hearted yes anyone on the planet has ever heard.
She was looking everywhere but her dad's face. She was, like, looking around. In, like, the diamond shape, like,
Said yes with basically a shrug, because there was no conviction in that yes at all. And then she says, you know, I'm not ready for it to be over, but I'm not ready for an engagement. Now, this is where I had a smidge of, like, sympathy for her. Because you could see homegirl, she feels pressured by this whole bachelor engagement thing. You know, if this was about finding a boyfriend, I don't think she would be as tied up in her head, as scaredy cat as she is. But because of the bachelor engagement proposal, the pressure, it's coming down to three girls, she knows those other two girls are ready as hell and she ain't. Like, all of that, she ain't shit, but I felt a little bit sorry for her this morning, in this little moment. So the dad says, you know, had you come to hometowns, like, starry-eyed and enthusiastic and in love and, like, really sold us that this was the one, then all of this would be, this would have all gone a bit differently. But that was not the vibe that we got from you, Cassie. Like, at all. Just, like, straight up.
Because he knew she needed convincing from him.
Yes.
And he's like, this is your life.
I am not going to give you the answers. I'm not going to convince you. I don't even know this young man. This is on you, my girl. I'm sorry. Very true. So, you know, Cassie, she says straight up to him, she said, I thought hometown would make everything more clear, but instead it made me doubt things more. And then she talks about, like, her parents' love and how they met, and, like, there was no doubt and it was so easy for you guys when you fell in love. And, you know, she's like,
which I felt like was a little bit of a fantasy. Like, the way they told that story, I was like, for real? You never had doubts ever? For real?
Right, right.
That sounded a little,
it sounded very, I mean, it can definitely happen. But that's what she's striving for, and that's a little bit scary.
Yeah, and that's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a very high expectation. That is, it like, is. Fairy tale love that, sure, definitely does happen to people, but, you know, you're reaching, girl. So, she talked about her parents' love and just, you know, questions, I don't think I'll ever feel that way. and then just starts bawling, basically.
Yeah.
And her dad flat out says to her, if you're not feeling it, you just need to be honest with yourself, with him. Like, be done with this. And then, you know, Cassie says in her interview, like, I want to feel that 100% for a person, and I just don't have that right now.
I think, too, what is so scary for her, I think if he, as in Colton, showed a little bit more reservation.
Restraint, jeez.
She wouldn't be as scared. But the fact that he is so into her is really freaking her out.
It's freaking her out. It's like when Demi came in and was like, I really like you, Colton. He was like, oh, wow, I am not there. You need to leave right now.
You need to go. You've got to go. You and your paddle and the rest of you have got to go.
So, yeah, when you lay it on so thick, it definitely scares the person if they're not even there, if they're not even close to being there yet.
Right.
So, yeah, Cassie, I have a lot of feelings about Cassie, like, in this whole moment. Part of me, yes, had sympathy. Part of me also just thinks she ain't shit.
Yeah.
This girl fought tooth and nail to prove to the world that she is ready for love, that she's here for the right reasons, that she wasn't one of the girls that they were talking about and all that jazz. She watched other girls who are more committed.
Ready.
She watched Colton send them home over her. She watched her best friend, her homegirl.
Her girl.
Kaylin, who probably wasn't there for right reasons anyways, but
definitely not.
She convinced us when she dropped them tears at the end that maybe she might have been. Yeah. We watched her go home. And even last week when Kaylin went home, Cassie got the rose. Cassie looked like a deer in headlights. Like,
yeah, she did.
Herself was shocked that she got the rose. Yeah.
I think she kind of wanted to be eliminated.
Yes, she absolutely wanted to be.
Yeah.
She knew, just the look on her face, she knew she did not deserve it, and she knew that she did not want it more than Caitlin.
Exactly.
So she knew from last week how she was already feeling with the doubts. Yeah. And now she's here about to pull this shit. Like, oh my God. So her dad, you know, leaves. Time for the nighttime portion of their date. Cassie and Colton are both, you know, getting ready for this dinner. Cassie says in her little confessional or in her interview, after talking to my dad, I know what I have to do. I have to send myself home tonight.
God.
Oh my God. Meanwhile, Colton is ready. He's getting mad hype.
Oh my God, he's lighting up them candles, okay? Making sure the vibes are all right. Okay.
Got the playlist running. They got the bubble bath drawn. Like, he is ready to throw down.
Champagne chilling.
Champagne is on ice. He's ready to lose his virginity. Like, this is the woman he's in love with.
He got in his good polo underwear. The good ones.
Fresh out the pack.
Yep.
Oh my God. So he says... Poor Colton. Now he says, he said, although today's date didn't end in the best way, I'm not worried about it. This is your problem, Colton. You keep ignoring the signs that are in your face.
Yeah.
This date ended horribly. The hometowns ended horribly.
Horribly.
The end of Singapore or wherever, when she didn't say, I'm falling in love with you, and every other girl on the island said that they are. Like, so many signs. She has not once verbally expressed any strong feelings toward you, yet you are talking about how you were in love with her and are ready to throw down in the fantasy suites.
And how you feel like the fact that none of that happened isn't a problem.
Isn't a problem, right. And you're not worried about it. I'm worried for you. Like, all of America is very worried right now.
Very, very worried. And this is why production got away with half the shit they got away with.
Yes.
Because he was so gullible.
So gullible and easy to just, oh, Lord.
He was just, he couldn't take control of no situations. Nope. He was living in his own fantasy land.
Yep.
And he just got played.
Yeah, straight up. Jesus. So Colton and Cassie meet up. I did love her dress, by the way.
It was the only good outfit she wore all season. And she did all this foolishment in her best outfit.
Thank you. Just even more ancient. Now you're on your way out looking the best you've ever looked. That is just terrible. Poor Colton. It was cute. It was short. It was long sleeve. It was like metallic. It was slightly off the shoulder. It was like a New Year's dress, but not aggressively New Year's. You know? Really appreciate it. So Cassie and Colton, they sit, they cheers to wine. Cassie's putting on them fake smiles. Mm-hmm. And you know deep down she got something else on her mind. She's playing the part right now.
Yeah.
So Colton, he immediately, you know, goes in, just lays it on thick, singing all her praises.
Mm-hmm.
Says again, the conversation with your dad still does not change the way I feel about you. Now, Cassie, she puts her head in her hands.
Mm-hmm.
Literally can't even look at Colton as she's about to just stomp all over this man's heart.
Oh my God.
And she says, so my dad actually showed up at my hotel room earlier.
Ooh.
Now the camera immediately zooms in on Colton's face. He looks so worried. His eyes started darting around the room.
Yep.
I felt so bad for him in this moment.
Because,
like, this is life. This is real life.
This was real. Yeah. The same way she looked when he said he didn't give permission, the dad didn't give. Mm-hmm. That was the same look.
Look.
And Colton had.
That stunned, sorry look.
But even
look.
More. Because I feel like Colton at that point was calculating, like, oh my God, these producers did this to
yes.
me.
Yes. Yes.
Like, they really did that shit to me.
That's
and
what
tried
I
to ruin
mm-hmm.
this.
When the eyes were darting around the room, I think mm-hmm. he was like, holy shit, something's about to go down. And I'm sitting here on display in front of cameras. With yeah. people who I thought I could trust, but now that she's about to drop some shit, now I know I don't trust none of y'all.
None of them.
And you guys yep. are all in on what she's about to tell me, and I'm the only mm-hmm. one who doesn't know.
Yep.
Whew. But also, you signed up for this, bro. Sorry.
Exactly. I don't know what you thought.
I don't know what you thought. I don't know what you thought. So Cassie continues. She said, you know, me and my dad, we talked about how big this whole thing is. And we talked about how, you know, my mom and him and their type of love and how they never had any doubts. And, you know, she never, you know, the mom never had any doubts. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I hate to have you leave here without what you came here for. Now, Colton, yeah, he just looks terrified.
mm-hmm.
She's saying a lot and it's building up towards something that he knows is going to be, like, catastrophic.
And she's expecting him to have a conversation. And you can't expect someone to have a conversation when you're trying to break up with them.
Right. You're the one that's coming here with something to say. Like,
right.
There's no engagement. Just say what you need to say. Like,
say it. Yeah.
So he's sitting there looking terrified. And he said something in this moment. I didn't catch it. I don't know. But she came back and said, you know, I hate that you say that. And then in a patronizing tone, she was like, it's sweet. I really miss what he God. Said, but whatever it was, poor Colton. It was probably him bearing his heart again. And then she just says,
probably.
You know, it's sweet. And then she says, you know, I feel like today was perfect. And I love you so much. But I couldn't after today. I'm like, not in love with you.
Oh my God. I can't believe she said it like that.
Like that, with all the intermittent likes in between.
Yeah.
And basically said, I love you, which is what he wanted
like
to hear. He has been wanting her to say, I love you, I'm falling in love with you, all that stuff. But then followed up with, but I'm just not in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the casting directors got my Becky of the Week.
Nice!
Yes. I had to get very specific here.
Yes, okay, okay.
This is what happens when you cast starry-eyed undergrads on a show about finding a husband.
Yep.
You got Becky here dropping cliche rom-com, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, soliloquies that she's watched on all kind of movies that she, you know, grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Because she hasn't yet developed the vocabulary to tell this man, who is so heartbreakingly... very confusingly in love with you that you were just not that into him.
Exactly. That's it.
Like, come on. All she had to say, she could have said something like, you know, hearing today that my dad didn't get, you know, you didn't get the blessing really, you know, showed me, really illuminated to me the doubts that were unfortunately already in my heart and that I've been trying to suppress because I do care for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hate to do this, but I'm just not in love with you, and I can't drag this on anymore.
Right.
Done!
That's it.
I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Are you kidding me? That is like the cheapest, laziest answer that you can ever give in a breakup. It's gross.
Oh my God. It is. That's so mean and horrible. Like, because how do you love him if you're not in love with him?
She's saying basically, I love you as a friend. I love you as a person.
Like, I love you like Caitlyn.
I love you like I love Caitlyn. I love you because I have, you know, I do care for you and your feelings and stuff, but I'm not in love with you. Like, that's the wackest answer. It's not even well crafted because it's stolen from 5 million movies that we've all grown up watching. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you had all evening to think of something.
You sure did. And your dad.
Yeah, you had your, that's what I'm saying. You had your dad sitting there. Y'all couldn't sit together and craft a meaningful goodbye to this dude? Jesus. Just not fair. And just Becky of the Week to the casting directors for casting these young kids.
Do you think they got just carried away because of Becca M and the success of Becca M?
You mean with casting young folk?
Mm-hmm.
I think Colton is young. He's 26.
Yeah, and Colton's young. Yeah,
and so just the average age of the girls was going to be young.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's true. Yeah, I think that's it. But I wouldn't have mind the young group if it was a bunch of Becca M's.
Exactly.
Who could
right.
carry conversations, hold their own, strong, confident, like that I could watch. But these are like literal children who cannot have conversations and don't know anything about like mediation or confrontation or like nothing. Oh my God. So she drops that foolishness. Colton is just stone face. Like, he's literally being shot in the heart. And Cassie, she just continues on, you know, I don't know why after today, I'm not there. And Colton just flat out asks her, like, were you planning on leaving tonight? Like, is this where this is headed? Like, are you, you're telling me that you're about to leave? And she says, yes, but, you know, it's not because I don't care about you.
Oh my
you know,
God.
I just don't know if I can get there with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just goes on and on and on and just says, really all she just kept saying was, I don't know, I don't know.
Yeah, she was just rambling.
I don't know, kept saying, I don't know, those three fucking words. And Colton's just sitting there just stunned, like he's in love with this girl. He was not expecting this. He just puts his head in his hands and then suddenly she storms away. Like, she gets up and storms off.
Yeah, she runs off.
I was like, bitch, that was fast. Where are you going? So now Cassie, she's off in a corner talking to a producer or somebody, and Colton gets up out his seat and, you know, finds her and, you know, asks her to go for a walk, and then they kind of stand and hug, essentially. And Colton says to her, I'm okay with being patient, which is in my head, this is code for, I am choosing you. We do not need to get engaged.
No,
we can take our time. Like, that's basically what he's saying when he says to her, like, I'm okay with being patient. Now her answer to him is, I don't know if I'm ever going to get there.
Jesus.
Which is code again.
Yeah.
For I'm just not that into you, bro.
Not that into you.
That's it.
Nope.
Oh my God. So Cassie, again, just keeps saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Colton looks her dead in the eye and says, I don't want to lose you. And then asks her to sit back down. They go back to the seat. It's just like, whew, going back and forth. They go back and sit down. Now Colton, this is when he's laying it on thick. He's going to
breaking
war.
All the rules.
Yes. He's breaking all the rules. He's going to war. He is going to fight for this woman who does not deserve to be fought for, but okay, he's going to try. And he says to her, I want to be with you. I want to be around you. I can't stop thinking about you when I'm not with you. It's not easy going on dates with these other women when all I do is think about you.
Yo, that was horrendous. I'm
sorry. That was wild, Colton.
You are bungee jumping and skydiving with Tasia. You're like full blown making out and rolling around with Hannah G. And all you can think about is Cassie?
Oh my God. And flat, I feel bad for Tasia and Hannah G watching this back.
That's embarrassing.
To hear him say, like, I can't stop thinking about you. It's not easy for me to go on dates with these. Like, he's saying, jeez, I'm dragging myself on these dates with Tasia.
Yep.
And all I want is you. Like, that fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Cassie just says, I just don't know. You know, don't you think I should know by now? Like, literally, she says that.
Yeah.
And then Colton, he says something along the lines of, like, if we're not ready to get engaged, that's fine. Like, we can take our time. Mm-hmm. Again, pointing out the fact that this engagement at the end is just stupid.
Like, yeah, this is, especially for people this young.
Especially for people this young. Like, who are, yeah. They can try and convince themselves up and down. You guys can email us every 5 seconds talking about, I got married at 22, I was ready. Sure, yes, it happens, but.
It does.
These girls are not.
No. And you were 22 and ready to get married because you know him for 4 years during college.
Thank
these
you.
These people who know these people for 6 weeks, they're not ready.
They're not ready. Sorry. Not
ready.
Nah.
Yeah. No.
So it points out the engagement at the end is preposterous, as we keep saying. Mm-hmm. However, it also made me think even more so that they're never going to get rid of that engagement finale. Mm-mm. Because it puts so much pressure on these people. It creates drama.
Drama.
It created what we're watching right now.
Yeah, which was so great. I was at the edge of my seat. What?
Great television. It created that Peter and Rachel epic breakup. Mm-hmm, it forced Ari into proposing to the wrong person.
The wrong person.
It creates this unnatural pressure cooker of a show and sets people up for straight up mess and yet creates good television. So they're probably never going to get rid of it, as ridiculous as this season has pointed it out to be.
Yeah.
So Colton continues on. He is fighting tooth and nail.
Oh my gosh.
Says here, I am sitting here and I am in love with you. I don't even know where your doubts are coming from. This is just sad. I felt bad for him.
It
like,
was so sad.
He decided it was Cassie. He was just going through the motions with these other two girls, which is horrible and disgusting.
It is. He met all these other girls' parents. Like,
I met their parents. Why?
And looked at their dads in the face and was like, she's at the end, when you're sitting there thinking about Cassie's hometown,
whole time.
When her dad said, no, hell no, get out of my house.
Right.
Oh.
he ain't shit for that. That's really bad. But anyways, he did decide on Cassie. And now he's sitting here and she's just like, thanks, but no thanks. It sucks. He continues on. He says, you know, you're putting a 2-week timeline on the rest of your life, which is code again for fuck this process. We don't have to get engaged.
Yeah.
And he says, I want to be with you. I want you at the end of this. I want a future with you at the end of this. I want it to be you. I love you. His entire heart, his left and right nut, everything is out on the table. He has nothing left to give. He's sitting there butt-ass naked, vulnerable as shit. My God. Oh, my God. He's literally trying to, like, sucker punch this girl into being in a relationship with him.
Oh, yeah. No, trying to, like, lasso his way into a relationship with this woman who does not fuck with him.
Does not fuck with you at all. Oh my God. So as Colton is saying all this, which is why you just have to feel so bad for him, he's literally shaking like a leaf.
Yeah.
Like he is shaking, physically shaking. And is damn near he's in the middle of having a mental nervous breakdown, like trying to hold it together because he's trying to fight for her, but at the same time he's full on breaking down inside.
Yeah. And I think the fact that Cassie's dad came on made it so real that he was on TV.
Yes.
Yeah. That, like, this is a TV show. Like, this is a story.
Yeah. My life is a story.
And I think, it was too much.
It was a lot, yeah. This kind of threw me back to, so this is where my bachelor historian knowledge comes out. Desiree, she was a bachelorette, like, yesteryear. And something very similar to her happened. Her front runner, this guy Brooks, they were down to like the bottom 3-4, same thing, and he left. He went in and told her he wanted to go home.
Wow.
And same thing, like, she was going through the same things kind of as Colton, like, shocked her. The viewers, we knew that he was a front runner, so we're like, oh shit, this sucks. And then she ended up at the end getting proposed to by, like, literally, like, the guy in second place. So kind of took like the pity proposal, and they got married and are still together to this day.
All right. Okay.
But this has happened before where like somebody made it to the very, very end and was like, actually changed my mind. Peace. See you later. Sucks. So Cassie, you know, I don't know. I just keep saying, I don't know, which is just not helping him at all.
Yeah, she just needs to go.
Yeah, you just need to leave at this point. Either come up with a good explanation or piece together anything besides I don't know. Be truthful, if anything. Like, the wishy-washiness is just worse. You'd rather just be flat out and just say, look, I'm just not into you in the way that you're into me, and I can't get there. Gotta go. See ya. But the I don't know is almost leaving, like, hope open that, like, maybe there is a possibility when she does get some clarity and she does know at some point. But
exactly, yeah.
I don't know. So they go back and forth for a while. She eventually just says, I can't do this. Colton says, I don't care if you're about to leave. I won't stop fighting for you. Now we're like literally watching like a Lifetime movie.
It's legit. And now I'm thinking like, well, now what are you going to do? What do you mean fighting
for you?
Like, finish out the season.
Right, damn, you got a whole other fantasy suite. Hannah G is at the villa over there waiting for tomorrow, like picking out her outfit and everything.
Yeah.
What you mean? Yeah. So Cassie then just flat out says, I feel like staying here is making a wrong decision for me. And that's
it. Thank you, Cassie.
Yep. Colton says, okay, so that's it. They stand up. They put on their coats. He walks her out. You know, they hug. He says, I want the best for you. She says, now this is where she just gets on my last nerve. She just needs to leave at this point.
Yeah.
Now she just keeps saying shit that's just stabbing him further into the heart. She says, I want someone for you who's going to be so insanely in love with you. Basically saying, but it ain't me, so.
Yeah, so I gotta go.
I gotta go. And then they make out, like, one last time. Fucking weird. And then she again, like, are you mad at me?
Are you mad at me? That killed me.
That killed me.
I was like, girl, if you don't get in this car and go back to your parents.
Get out of here.
Oh my God, you have got to go.
Please. And then they exchange I love yous. That was weird again. Like, he's been waiting for her to say I love you this whole time. And the time that she drops it is during her breakup with him.
Right, and he'll just take it any way he can.
Any way he can, he will take it. Colton, Jesus. And so she eventually gets into the van and rides off.
Yeah.
And that is our fourth girl of the season to send herself home.
Oh my God.
Elise, Sydney, Heather, and now Cassie. Jesus Christ. In the car ride, she's bawling her eyes out, face is red like a tomato. She's still saying she doesn't know. She don't know. I don't know. Meanwhile, Colton, he storms away and goes into like some little cabin or whatever, shuts the door. So cameras aren't in there with him. And then we hear over his microphone him say, fuck all of this. I'm done with this. He then comes out the room. You know, goes down the stairs. He looks dead into the camera and shoves it out his way.
Yep.
Then we see him throw something across the table.
He was flinging those tchotchkes all around the jungle.
He flung, like, presumably a mic pack across the table.
Yep.
Then we see him walking in the darkness and he's stripping off, like, other mics or wires or, like, whatever fucking electrodes.
Whatever is attaching him to this show, he's like, get this off of me right now.
All of the wires and mics and whatever they got this poor dude.
Everything, his ID, everything. Gotta go.
Stripped it, flung it off. We hear the producers panicking. He took off his mic. And this is big. Like, in reality show world, like, it's part of their contracts. Like, they're not supposed to take off the mics. Like, I don't know who. Maybe, did we have somebody on the podcast? Or I don't know if I read this somewhere, but, like, it's in their contract. They can fine you. Like, you're tied to the show. Like, you're. You cannot take off your microphone. Mm. Like, that's a no. So he rips that shit off so fast. And then we see Colton, like, just briskly walking ahead. And they send Chris Harrison after him.
I was wondering, is Chris Harrison just on call? Is he, like, a nurse?
That's all I'm saying. He quickly got dressed off of the massage table because He's got his manicure petty done. This man don't do shit but get pampered and get, you know, calm down and deliver some lines every now and then. So Chris Harrison came out of nowhere. They sent him after him. He now, Chris Harrison's maybe like 30 paces behind Colton. Chris Harrison's taking his sweet time. He is not trying to mess up his manicure.
No.
So Colton is way off ahead. Suddenly we see Colton like hits a dead end. And we see him walking towards that beloved fence. We see him hoist his big ass up that fence.
Did this remind you of your brother at all?
His big ass? Yes.
Like hoisting himself. When he did that over the fence, it reminded me of my brother. Because my brother can literally jump over anything with just the, like, inertia of his body.
Right. Oh my god.
It's just like watching someone do that is so crazy.
Someone as large as Colton. Like, he's a big dude, six something, and he's a fucking football player. He's huge.
Yeah, he's like brolic.
So he hoists himself and throws his big ass over that fence and literally disappears into the night. Chris Harrison finally catches up, still taking his sweet ass time strolling. And they finally opened the fence. It was like a garage door or something of some sort. And it's just pitch dark. Like, Colton is nowhere in sight. You literally can't see anything. There's some street dogs barking in the corner.
Oh my god, that was crazy.
They're in the middle of, like, dogs. The countryside or wherever. In wherever, Portugal. And, yeah, Colton's nowhere to be found. And the episode ends with a to be continued.
Because he lives in the woods. With them dogs.
He is gone. He is he's just like, fuck society.
yeah.
Fuck the real world. I'm off to be mountain man in the wilderness and going to live off the grain because I could trust nobody. And that was the episode, my friends.
That was it.
Oh my god. So we did get a preview for tomorrow. So tomorrow's the Woman Tell All. We saw Demi and Courtney going at it.
Yeah.
We saw Nicole and Anyeka going at it. We see Colton in the hot seat. He gets asked whether he's still a virgin.
Colton was looking crazy.
He looked emotionally distressed.
He did. He looked nuts. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
He's still going through it. And then we get footage from the two-part finale next week, next Monday and Tuesday. They eventually find Colton in the darkness, and he's just shoving them off, like, just not trying to do any of this. Don't want to be on camera, don't be fucked around with these people.
Yeah.
We see Hannah G. Shout out to Hannah G. Poor Hannah G. Shit, sitting in the villa, nobody's coming to check on her. She doesn't know what the fuck is going on. She still hasn't gone on her date. We see her crying. We see
Because she ain't going on that date.
She ain't going on that date. That sucks. That really sucks. Yeah,
that's terrible.
We see Tasia crying. We see that infamous image of Colton hugging the producer.
Oh my god, and sobbing.
Sobbing, giving his good Kim Kardashian cry face. And so I have no idea how the hell this shit's gonna end. No clue. Haven't read any spoilers. I mean, Cassie's gone. He literally said that she was the one.
Right.
He's not going to propose to Tasia or Hannah G.
No. So what are we going to do?
What's happening? crazy. But anyways, we'll be back tomorrow for the Woman Tell All. Break down all the mess. I'm excited for Katie to clarify what the fuck that conversation about Kaylin and Cassie talking about being the next Bachelorette was. And I'm excited to see Demi just...
Oh my gosh, of course. Always excited to see Demi on TV.
Her and Courtney just go at it.
Yeah.
That was the episode, guys. We'll be back tomorrow. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe. Hit us up on Twitter, email, Facebook, Instagram, tag us in your story, buy our merch, all that good jazz. And we'll be here tomorrow. All right, guys.
See you tomorrow.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.